Again, good morning, everyone. It's just nice to see you here today on this, the first day of the year. Something about it, isn't it? We haven't wrecked it up. It hasn't messed it up. It's like a slate that's all clean. And then we've got to try and keep it that way with good habits and things for the rest of the year. So here's we might make it till the third or the fourth anyway. So we'll try, though. John 14, verse 1. It's where I'd like you to turn to, but before we do that, let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this to our hearts. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, and I pray that it will return to some 30-fold, some 60-fold, yes, even 100-fold return on this thy word this morning here. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called this the great life. The great life. Because when we were introduced to the Lord, that we were introduced to his life. It's a great life. Last night as I was going over this, I was conscious again what a great life I have. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a child of God and I believe in him. And ever since, I have become a believer. Life has not been the same for me. And no, undoubtedly for you either. And so, John 14, verse 1, this is the part we always quote. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's the command. Believe also in me. I've thought about it. Actually, quite a bit as to what is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. It is that the possession of divine life. What is the difference between a Christian organization and a non-Christian organization? It is the possession of divine life. The fact that we possess it in the person of Jesus makes it special beyond belief. So it's a great thing to be a believer. And this morning, by partaking of this communion, I'm really saying, I am a believer. And to call myself that, because that is indeed what I am and what you are. It's a great thing to be a believer, but I wrote this little statement here, easy to misunderstand what the New Testament means by it. See, it's not that we believe in Jesus can do things or heal things, heal people. Or that we ever believe in a plan of salvation. It is that we believe him. We believe him with all of our hearts. That whatever happens in these next 12 months, whatever happens, we will hang on to the fact that he is true. Of all the things that are going to happen, we will declare he is true. We say, I'm going to believe. Well, he will put those things right, but we'll lose our confidence when we see things that go wrong. You see, this is lots of things will go wrong in the next 12 months. All kinds of things. Not that I'm telling you anything you didn't surprise. Oh, really? But it was just to be, not everything will work out. Not everything will go as planned. And you have to have a faith that believes regardless of how it works out, of how it might unfold. If not, you will be in great dire straits. You will be panicking. You will be worried instead of believing. You see, to believe, this is the important thing. What do we mean when we say, I am a believer? What do we mean when we say, I believe? I think, in my opinion, that to believe really means to commit. That you can't say you're believing if you aren't committing your life to him. Commit yourself to me, Jesus. And he tells us about what that means in all of the Gospels, so much of that. And I think that, in all honesty, It takes all a person is worth to really to believe in Jesus. When we see, one thing to say, how many here would like to believe? We can put our hand up. But what does that really mean? I believe. What does that, how does that work out? Because I think when we tell people, say, I've decided to believe, okay? But it takes a lot. Right, doesn't it? Doesn't it take a lot? To me, in my mind, it takes everything that you have for you to be a believer to say, I believe in Jesus. It's not just a flippant thing, I believe in Jesus. We all believe in Jesus. Because when you believe in Jesus, you decide, with that goes this commitment, and thus I commit myself to you. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happens, because I am committed to you. I am a follower of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. So the attitude of a believer must be, at least I think this is how it is, must be, and I quote, things do look black, dark, but I believe him. And when the whole story is told, I'm confident my belief will be justified and God will be revealed as a God of love and justice. I believe. Even if I can't see it all, if I don't feel it all, that's what my heart wants. Lord, I believe. See, it's fairly complicated. It's not an easy thing where we simply put our hand up and say we believe. When you, by putting our hand up or whatever else we do to signify that we belong to him, there will be lots of opportunities to prove whether I'm a believer or not. It seems to me that many Christians end up being quite agnostic. And they say things like this, well, Pastor Owen, I just can't, I don't know if I can believe. I just, you know, ever since that happened, that accident, and this was happening and that was happening, and it's just not right. And I don't know. Is there a God? I don't know if there is a God. And pretty soon, they've got me discouraged because of their unbelief. You say you are a believer in Jesus, but I don't see any sign of that. In what way are you a believer in Jesus? Do you see the complication of it? When he says, believe also, remember this is, I'm quoting from John 14. You believe in God, fine. Believe also in me. Wow. He calls us to believe in him. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't have problems, but it does mean that our problems will never come in between us and our faith in him. Regardless if there's anything negative that comes in my life this year or your life this year, he's got it covered somehow, some way. And I'm trusting him. I believe in him. Lord, I don't understand this. Maybe the cry I don't understand why that happened. But I am certain that there will be an explanation. If not here, then there. But there will be an explanation. And meanwhile, I will put that item, that incident, that problem, that disaster, that incident that happened, I will put it on the shelf under the title, Things Hard to Understand. Because in my mind, there's lots of things. If I'm a believer, why did that go wrong? I remember seeing a high school thing. It says, if God loves me, why can't I get my locker open? Well, for a teenager, that's probably pretty fair. But things hard to understand. You see, it doesn't mean that my faith is faulty if I'm a little perplexed. I don't understand. But Lord, I believe. For this whole year. See, the Christian faith is personal, passionate devotion to Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh. That's who he is. God manifest in the flesh. And this personal, passionate devotion is what it must take in order to go through all 12 months, trusting him, looking only to him, believing him, that he's never failed us, never will fail us. We have that confidence. But there may be moments. And I wrote a title. I gave Cam a bunch of backward kind of notes here before the service, so don't go by me, Cam. Just kind of flow with it. But I wrote here the genesis of the great life. If this is a great life, if this is what I'm talking about, if it's true, if it's really real, then there is a genesis. Where's this? Where does it start? Where does this great life start? Jesus answered and said to them in John chapter 6, verse 29, "This is the work of God." Because that was the question to him. What must we do the works of God? What a great opportunity he had to say all kinds of things. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." That's it right there. That you believe in him. Absolutely, yes, Lord. I will serve you. I will love you. I give my life to you. See, the great life that I'm talking about or attempting to talk about, it's begun when? When we believe. Not until. You aren't living. I remember there was this article in the paper. It was this man wanted to get buried sitting upright in his car. And he wanted a very expensive suit and a cigar, gold cuffs. And apparently when they had to lower the car into the ground, because it was a real length of a car, whatever that is. And so the crane is dropping and lowering him down, this dead man, let me add, as they put him into the ground. And apparently the backhoe operator, when he saw that rich suit and that cufflinks and everything going out of sight, he said, "Man, that's living." "Man, that's living." Well, I don't know. But the great life, that's not when it's beginning for him. But when we believe. See, you can't pump up belief. It can't be pumped up. It can't be hyped. We can't try to rally the troops so we all, let's just say it's true and maybe it'll become true. It's either true or it isn't. God either sent his son or he didn't. And if he did, then what other option do we have but to follow him, whatever this will take us this next 12 months? Absolutely committed to this journey. So, but it can't be pumped up. It can't be, let's believe. Maybe if we believe, we'll feel it. No, there'll be times when you don't feel anything. But the word still is, I believe. That's what we're committed to do. So if we, in our hearts, believe in Jesus Christ, that has both a mental and a personal commitment to it. It's more than just nodding. It's surrendered completely to the Lord. See, it's not about him, but in him. I believe in him. Not about him. There's all kinds of people that believe about Jesus, the various views and thoughts. I'm sure Hitler believed in Jesus. I think he did, apparently. There again, what does it mean to believe? If he could be a believer, because apparently lots of great people have said that they believe in Jesus, but there's no evidence ever to think why that would be true. So it's not about him, but in him. I believe in him. Not a religion, but a person. And so there will be evidence, of course, as we go along through the weeks and months, that God is at work in our souls. I was thinking of other situations. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, It says Abraham believed God. He had no evidence of that, why he should. It says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Whatever it was, he believed. I don't know if he hadn't met the Lord or anything, he just believed. I think of Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will trust him. Through thick and thin, good, bad, difficulties, triumphs, we'll just believe God. I see every wrongdoing and every departure. I have observed this firsthand quite a few times since the last, I don't know, at a certain age, maybe people become somewhat agnostic in their thinking. But I actually, up till that time, I don't, to this year, I don't know if I had many friends that left the faith. But I have since then. You say, well, they probably weren't believers. Oh, they were believers, as much as you, much as me, as far as I could tell. I think they were baptized, spirit-filled, some you know, faith-pumping, excited people. Knew them, some of them, for years. And I would consider them believers in Jesus. Until they make a declaration, they no longer believe, and they won't be following the Christian faith. Now, so what do you do with that? It's disturbing. Because they were intelligent people, too. They were not foolish people. They were intelligent people. And I can say this, and other times, that every wrongdoing, every departure in spiritual life begins when we cease believing in Jesus. That's the touchstone here. That's the thing that will determine. If you say, I don't believe in Jesus, he's just one of many. Just one of many. And then we know that that departure will be further and further and further and further as time goes on. But if we believe in him, remember, believe in God, that's good, but believe also in me. But if we believe in him, no matter how dark the passage is, we shall be carried right through, and when the crisis is past, our souls will have been built up into stronger attitudes towards him. That's what we're betting on. That's what we're trusting in. A faith that will carry us without us departing and being someone they talk to at a conference, that so-and-so no longer serves the Lord. What a difficult time that must have been for all the people involved in that. I don't think it's very difficult to get off track. If you're wrong on Jesus, you'll be wrong on everything. It'll divert you out the door. If you aren't careful, and I'll talk about that in a couple of moments here. I think that what counts in a person's life, so that we don't veer off, that we say, I believe. If we don't do that, we check the disposition. That's a better way to put it. What counts is in a person's life is the disposition that rules. Whatever rules in your life. See, when God begins his work in us, notice that he doesn't make a mighty difference in our external life. You know, you don't see that much different. But except for this, that when God begins to do a work in our lives, he shifts the center of our confidence. So instead of relying on ourselves and other people, we rely on God and we're kept in perfect peace. There will be opportunities to test this, where we are feeling very distraught and troubled, and things shake us. I think that would be fair to say you can go through some crises and you say, that shook me. That shook me. When they said this, or when I saw that, when I said, oh, I thought they, you know, that shook me. How many here have had moments where your faith was not, you didn't depart from it, but it shook you. First time it was challenged on a different level. So, to be a believer in Jesus, coming full circle here now, to be a believer in Jesus is to have an irrepressible belief and a life of uncrushable gaiety. By the way, I think it was Barb that first said this, that I heard this, but she's right about it, Barb Sutton. She said, joy is our natural state. That's a good line, isn't it? That's a good word. Joy, so we always go back to where you lost your joy. And you can take, you could bet on this too, that the place where you lost your joy is the place where you departed, where you no longer believe in Jesus. And so if joy is our, and I think, as I'm thinking of my own life, I think joy is our natural state. That's the place where God wants us to be. And that's the place where Jesus is full of joy as well. So that brings us to the third, well, I don't know what point it is, but the grandeur of the great life. Why is it so great? Because as we go through these months ahead, you say, wow, I have a great life. You know why I have a great life? Because I believe in Jesus. That's what makes my life great. Take him out of the equation for me personally, folks. I don't have anything that I could value, really value as life. If you were able to remove that person out of my life, I would be in unbelievable existential despair. I would be absolutely lost. Absolutely lost. And I hope that never changes. The grandeur of the great life is this. The words of Jesus, most assuredly I say to you, or verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believes in me, this is John 6:47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life. Well, but here's the kicker on this thing. Be careful with this. Because we often hear it put as if God gave us a present called eternal life. Like he says, okay, now you've come to believe, so here's your present. Here's your present. It's called eternal life. Here's your present. That's not, I don't think, what Jesus had in mind. What Jesus, I think, meant is people who commit themselves to me have eternal life. That is the life that was characteristic of him. It's not a gift given. It's a person received. And that makes all the difference, I think. You get eternal life only because you get Jesus. You can't have eternal life without Jesus. It's not given out. It's in a person. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you. You know, somebody says, well, they're a Christian. Are they Christians? Well, I don't know. They have eternal life. Not without Jesus. Eternal life comes through Jesus. And you can't I have eternal life, but I don't want him. It comes in him. It's not a package handed out. When I say, Jesus, I believe. I give unto you eternal life, those that believe. Well, that's too convicting. Let's move along. Romans 6:20, these are just verses that I was musing on. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Or how about this verse, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life, get ready for it, is in His Son. There's no life apart from the Son. It comes through Him. So you say, well, I embrace Jesus, but I'm not sure about I embrace the eternal life. I want eternal life, but I don't want the eternal Son. No, it comes as part of it. Whoever has the Son has life. You could pick up on that. That's a good sermon title. Whoever has the Son has life. If we commit ourselves to Christ, He says, stake your all on Me, and I will see you through. Don't worry about anything but your relationship to Me. Now, I'm just summation, putting a bunch of verses together there. But don't worry about anything but your relationship to Me. And I wrote a little note here to myself. And I said, here's a note. That's what it says. Here's a note. Watch carefully how quickly you begin to get away from believing in Jesus. Watch carefully how quickly you can begin to get away from believing in Jesus. It's not that far a step. It's not that far a step. People who once walked and they had this joy of the great life, they no longer have it now. Hit and miss the church service, the odd thing they might show up at. But I don't think you can honestly say, but I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in His Word, or I don't believe in prayer, I don't believe. It goes part and parcel. And it's easy to slip aside. Where the joy has gone, the peace has gone, and you're not back to your natural state. You're filling in time or making money or falling in love or who knows what you might be doing. But, you know, when so-and-so gave their heart to the Lord and so-and-so at the VBS and so-and-so over here and somebody gave their heart one night and somebody came through Alpha and somebody, and you know, the question is, where are they? Where are these believers who said, I'm a believer? Okay? That's okay. I mean, that's wonderful. But later, we find that they're not following the leader. They're not following Jesus. They hardly have any time for Him whatsoever. You say, yeah, but the main thing is they have eternal life. No, the main thing is to follow Christ. That's the main thing. So watch your life. You can't say, well, I'm glad I'm not like those people. Listen, there's one friend who departed. He was intelligent and bright, smart, clever, kind, and probably still is those things. How in the world did that happen? I suspect it was one thing at a time, one disappointment, one thing that upset them, one rejection. I don't know, but it must have been profound. And I wish it wasn't true, because I am, from my own perspective, I am experiencing the great life, and my friend is not. But I can't say anything about, I can be departing, all of a sudden I no longer believe in hell, I no longer believe in the baptism of the Spirit, no longer believe here, and you're quite a ways away from where you started. So, well, we have new revelation, we've got new insights, you know, like sounds like it, I can hear it. And so when we start from believing in Jesus, we want to end at the end of the year believing in Jesus. But it's not just a cakewalk. It's not just that simple. Oh, yeah, nothing to do that. It takes diligence. It's not an easy thing to follow the Lord. It requires our all. And vigilance and watching. Careful. When I sense that, oh, you know, I don't seem to love him as much as I used to. I used to really love him. I wanted to sing and talk about him and study about him. How about now? It's okay. Wow. So, this is the work of God, Jesus said, that you believe in him whom he has sent. In some ways, I think I can say this, that what does it matter what happens to us, per se? The thought, in many ways, the thought of self ought never to come in at all. Because it's not about, well, how do I feel about things? It's believe also in me. That's the sum total of it. Say, well, I'm not sure how I feel. Well, don't worry about how you feel. Just focus on the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 17. You know that verse. It's of the great agape love of 1 Corinthians 14. Every wedding you've ever been at, world without end, that verse comes up. it's the verse. I don't know where. Anyway, I won't get going there. That's just. It's always that. I said, I know what they want. They want John, or they want First Corinthians. Anyway, chapter 13 and verse 7 believes all things. Believes all things. You know that passage. You know that this is the greatest courtesy in the whole of human life, that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will determine to make our relationship to people what Jesus Christ wants us to. The wonderful thing about the great life is that it spreads and goes on. It doesn't stay to yourself. It wants to love and care. Be taking interest in people. As I said, once you say, Lord, I believe, you'll be praying for people, encouraging people, talking to people, sharing with people. Why? How is that? Because that's the kind of life it is. Divine life does that. See, I give unto you eternal life. That eternal life makes us do that, just makes us care about people, to how they're doing, and could I be an encouragement to them? So I think as we think about some of the stuff that it's a good question to ask, in our minds, have we somehow brought Jesus to some kind of formula? I think that can happen. It's okay just to check on that. Have I reduced him to a formula? Because we traffic in unlived truth so much. You know, we go to church, and of course we have communion, and we have Bible studies, and we have things that we do, and after a while, blah, 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 doesn't it? You know, I mean, we know what the right answer is. People come and say, I know, it's always about Jesus, so if you say that in the pastor's office, you're probably okay. But in the meanwhile, have things shifted on you, about you, around you? There's some formula. See, so Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And he says, this is the work of God that you believe in me. And so the full growth in the great life is to believe in the Lord and make room for Christ to move. Look to me, he says, and be saved. And you know, the interesting thing about that is how many people, when Jesus was on the earth, how many people saw him as the Son of God? He was basically nothing more than a carpenter to the majority of people. And so the majority, he's a carpenter's son. That's how they viewed him. But to those that believe, it comes with a rush of revelation. I see who he is. Have you had the revelation? I see who he is. And he gives us the life that is inherent in him. You see, when he comes in, I remember the night that I believed. I don't know what I felt before, because you know, when you're raised in southern Saskatchewan back in the 50s, everybody had some kind of a faith. They were Lutherans, or they were Anglicans, or they were Baptists, or there was a bit of this, a smattering of that. And we all said the Lord's Prayer, and we all quoted things. Boy, that's going to come a long ways, hasn't it? When you think about that. So everybody thought they were Christ followers. They actually did. They thought they were all right, because it was very. I remember when I became a believer, we're standing here with the Baptist Pentecostal kind of side of things, but we weren't like those Lutherans who were smoking two churches over. And we guys said, well, because we're the real Christians, because they're smoking. And crazy. At any rate, I knew that he had come to live inside of me. And I knelt down at this beside this in this room. I remember where I could take it to you to it, in fact. And I said, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe you are God manifest in the flesh. Wow. And when I said that, I couldn't mean it with my whole heart. I see who you are. You are the Lord. And so for the coming year, we will stake our all on him. Enjoying this great life. I can say this, if you do indeed have eternal life, again, it's not a feeling, it's nothing to do with that. But if you do have that relationship, nowhere else will you ever be as fulfilled as you are right now. You can go here, go there, and it will be all fine. I'm sure it'll be interesting and helpful in some things, whatever it is you're involved in. But I can say this, look me right in the eye and tell me, things got better when I left the Lord. No, you never will see that. Isn't that interesting? Look me right in the face and tell me, this is a great life without Christ. No, it's not. It's hardly endurable. It's frightening. It's fearful. There's so many things. This great life comes by embracing the Lord with every fiber of our being. See, it's a great thing to have a God big enough to believe in. I believe that Jesus is the man for all seasons and all reasons. The God revealed in Jesus Christ is grand enough for every problem of life. So whatever you face, put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the seas. A great and glorious fact, to believe in Jesus Christ is to receive God, who is described to the believer as eternal life. And I touched on this before, that eternal life is not a gift from God, but the gift of God. That is God himself. And the source, belief in Jesus, is the thing to heed. The Lord himself will look after all the rest for this coming year. And all we'll do is focus on believing and trusting. What a great life. What a happy life. What a carefree life if I allow the Lord to rule over me. And it's fantastic. And that's how it's supposed to be. If you can find a better way of living, let me know about it. Because the thing that is going to make this year great for me, and for you, I'm sure, is knowing Him. And surrendering everything to Him. And let Him worry about that and that and that and that. He will look after that. But this, you, dear sisters and brothers here today, your job is to focus on your relationship to Christ and get closer and closer and press in, and because that's what this life's about, getting to know the Lord Jesus better and better and better. When I mentioned my friend that has apparently departed from the faith, I often wonder if he lays in bed at night and says, "Wow, that's real living, now that I don't have a faith." Oh, by the way, you know when he was at, when he, they asked him, was this true? Apparently his answer was, what do you believe in now? If you don't believe in Jesus, what do you believe in? Do you know what he said? Nothingness. I have embraced nothingness. See, that, my thought again, guard your steps, because it's a slippery, it's a slipperiness. And you may think, we cast that out, and then we take that away, and that belief is questioned, and then Jesus is really brought into scrutiny, that he's just one of many. But for those, you believe in God, believe also in me. Is your faith, and I ask this question as we close, is your faith strong enough to carry you through this year? Because that's what it was required, right? A faith that's strong enough and robust enough that can stand criticism and setbacks. There'll be disappointments. I know there'll be things, we'll be perplexed about certain things and wonder about certain things, but we're not abandoning ship, and just the opposite. To say, Lord, here's the year, here's my life. Thank you. Without you, we are doomed. But with you, there's hope and life and joy and peace. I think the happiest people on earth are God's people who are following hard after the Lord. I think so. I think that's true. But we're only happy because we know the Great One. It's a great life because we know the Great One. Amen. Maybe you'd like to assist us. What has been your experience regarding this, what I've just been sharing? Don't go off into the wild blue yonder here. Just
I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah. Well, enjoy, because it's going to be a short one.
Number one, I remember that verse in Scripture that says, if you believe in God, you do well. The demons believe in God and they tremble.
Yeah.
If you just have a belief in God, basically all you have is demonic faith. It's to the extent that we humble ourselves and are obedient to God that differentiates us from demonic faith. And the other thing, I remember going to a conference where a fellow says, a man's or a woman's morality dictates their theology. You know that? Or dictates their philosophy. Mm. In other words, I started the Christian life, and God is real, and Jesus is the Son of God, and there's a heaven, and there's a hell, and I'm sure of that. And then I decide, that woman over there, she's not my wife, but I'm going to, play around with her. So what does that do to my thinking? Well, now do I really believe in judgment? So my immorality dictates my theology. You get to the bottom of a man who says, I used to believe in God, but I don't anymore. Something happened morally to that man.
Yeah. Good thought. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Yeah, be in the ark. Someone asked me, where's the safest place to live in uncertain times? I said, close to God. That's where it's best to be. Stay close to God. We'll just take a couple more and then we'll shift it so you can get to the coffee pot before the rest. Yes. Yes. Not always easy, but a growth builder like nothing else, right? Yeah. Yeah, there's always, God's up to something. Whatever he allows, he's up to something. And not to hurt us, even though it might hurt, but it's not. That's not the purpose of it. So, yeah, thank you. Very good. One more.
You know,
yeah.
I don't have the strength to hang on to God all the time, but God has the love and grace and mercy and strength to hold on to me.
Oh, good word. Good word. Yeah.
Uphold my faith and my strength.
Yeah, it's not a matter of getting a death-like grip, hoping we can make it to the end. It is looking to the Lord as your keeper. No, that's good. One more.
To me, it means God is asking me to become like his son. That is what it means to me to have Jesus in me and me in him. And by believing in him, I allow him to grow inside of me.
Yes.
And that is how he provides eternal life in and through me.
Yeah, amen, I agree. Haven't we heard you somewhere another time? I thought I got any feedback here. That was a good word the other night, by the way. Well, let's stand. Aren't you glad for the great life? I give unto them eternal life. And it's fleshed out, of course, day by day. So, dear Lord, for all you've done, for all you're going to do, for your great strength, Lord, that we serve a God that's well able to look after the coming year. And our confidence is in you, Lord Jesus. Our confidence is in you. Keep us, Lord, our eyes focused and fixed. And may we not turn to the right or to the left, but to stay in the road that you've marked out for us. We thank you for the path of faith, by faith. Lord, we trust you and we look to you. We thank you. Bless each person here this morning and bless the second service, we ask, Lord. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're able to come to the patio, it's a little chilly out there, but it's good other than that. So please join us.